Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. Michael, I'm going to do a sound check first. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you good right now.
Excellent. Thank you. So we're joined this afternoon by Sequoia, fellow resident at the Zen Monastery Peace Center, who is here to speak with us about the incredibly beautiful monastery garden. Welcome, Sequoia.
Hi, Jen. Thanks.
Hey. It is stunning, isn't it?
It is. It's stunning in all of its different cycles.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking. Say more about that.
Well, there is there's this conditioned response at times to, like, there's only certain things that are beautiful. And when I first started to tend the garden, I thought I had this vision of lush flowers year round in everywhere, and
mm-hmm.
I would somehow be able to tend them and they would respond and I would have control somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been such a teaching to be with the flower garden and to have it teach me about beauty. And it goes through cycles of the spring is lush and beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
The summer is a little warmer, and things. We have different flowers that appear. And just how it goes through the fall and the winter, and just to watch what appears with each season. What is the gift given with each season?
We could just spend the next hour talking about just that paragraph. Because there's so much in it, isn't it? It's perfect for the bamboozle that we're on right now. The illusion of control, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that idea that, I know what's beautiful. And so I am now going to go about making this beautiful. And then, of course, what are we doing? We're not tending a garden. We're tending egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate.
Exactly. Exactly. And, I'm just been astounded with the generosity of life and how there is always, 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 it's always presenting something of beauty and the opportunity to say thank you and tend it instead of getting in there to muck around with my ideas of what might be beautiful or not.
Yes, yes. So, so true. I was just thinking today, I think it was actually, about when you're paying attention, the seasons at the monastery are about every 2 weeks. Really, there's a new season. And right now, it's dragonfly season. Have you noticed that? Just suddenly, in the last few days, there are red dragonflies everywhere.
Yes.
Go ahead. Uh-huh.
I was just going to say, now we have flying flowers.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I was, we had come back from doing a run to the dump, and so the truck was sitting in the driveway, and this red dragonfly just sat right on top of the antenna of the car. I'm just perched up there, and I just thought, you couldn't make it up, It's just so, so beautiful. And I just love your point that when we're here for it, the beauty is in everything. There's a conditioned idea of what's beautiful. But, the grasses, as they dry and turn that golden brown, are exquisitely beautiful.
Yes. As I've been tending the garden, I started with this restricted view of the garden. And it's so great. It's expanded beyond the barriers of the garden fence. It's the garden. The garden is everywhere.
And it occurs to me, Sequoia, it might be fun to talk a little bit about how we water the garden, because there are a number of different innovations
Oh, yes, okay. So we have been experiencing a drought here for a few years, and we've had to get creative with watering. And so we have a few ways we water, and one of the things we've been experimenting with in the garden is ollas, and those are buried ceramic pots in the ground, and they're filled with, we fill them with water that comes from the kitchen, what we call clean water, water that might have been used to rinse dishes and things like that, and we can fill the ollas with that. And then the plants around the olla will drink from that water underground, and as it's underground and covered, it doesn't evaporate quite so quickly. And
brilliant.
It is. Mm-hmm. And then we collect the water from the kitchen, and that goes to collection buckets. And mm-hmm. we have a system of keeping track of what needs to be watered, and we will walk those little buckets. It's a nightly beautiful ritual to give a drink to the various plants around.
Mm. Yeah, it really is a fun thing to get to participate in as a community, isn't it? That all of the water that's used in the kitchen is saved, as you say, throughout the day in buckets on the back porch. And then Sequoia has created for us these little cards that say, you know, the Nandina in the such-and-such location, and it will tell you how many buckets. And so there, you take the little card and you put it in the bin clip, so now everyone knows, okay, that one's done. And you take your buckets of water, and you walk over to the Nandina, and then you carefully spread the water underneath. I mean, just everything about this is so heart-opening.
It is. And you know, and then we pay attention to those plants.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, is that three buckets of water, you know, what is it looking like? And then we maybe have to adjust the buckets, and it's just great flow.
Yeah. We all get the great gift of attending to it in that process of participating in the watering, in the bucket water.
Yes. Yes.
And then, of course, go ahead.
I was going to say, isn't it a great way to, quote, end the day, you know, to just...
Yeah.
To give back with, this is what we'd like to share with you. We've used it, you know, it's just that cycle again.
Truly. And then I was just thinking about the water that's used for the vegetables and that sort of thing in the garden comes from what we affectionately refer to as chubby, which is the big, about 1,000-gallon tank that sits in the garden, and that in the winter by the simply big barrels that we stick under the roof. An amazing amount of water comes off that huge, beautiful tile roof.
Amazing. Yes.
Isn't it amazing? It's just, wow.
It's great. And it's, yes. And that every, I love that in the winter. And as we collect the water, it's like it's put in bigger buckets and then chubby, as you say, and then we can say, oh, that's going to get us through June. Oh, that's going to get us through July, you know. And,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, truly. I mean, we have yet to open a hose, you know, and water something.
Yeah.
So that's pretty amazing, given that, you know, very large property supporting a lot of plant material and a lot of people and a lot of, exactly.
Yeah. So
there are a number of beds in the garden that have flowers, and then I think one of the other things that we've done with it is to start to talk about, I don't think we've done a lot of it yet, but to talk about planting around what we're already watering. So for example, we would tend to stop planting more vegetables if we're running out of reserve water sources that we're talking about as we get stretched thin in the summer. But that what we can do is we can start to companion plant around things that we're already watering to take advantage of that, you know, put the lettuce around the Nandinas or that sort of thing.
Exactly. And again, that's, you know, boy, yes, it's to take advantage of the shade that plant that we're, you know, is established and we're already watering, and how to introduce companions to them. And have both edible and ornamental, and again, conserve water resources. It's,
Fun. And I'm just looking at the time, Sequoia. We're going to have to wrap up in a minute, but I can't end the interview without asking you about the process of the stunning arrangements that you walk out into the garden, but it isn't just the garden. It's the garden in that more expanded sense that you talked about, realizing it's not just the gates that's the garden, but the property in general, and maybe saying a little bit about that process of how you create the arrangements for us.
Well, first of all, you know that I don't.
but you might say a word to that, since not everyone will understand what you mean by that, because it is they are your hands, your body.
Life uses my hands to create flower arrangements, and that's very clear to me. It's just something that has been given to me, and it's just to walk around and it's just such an exciting thing. Just walk around and just let life pop something out. Oh, that, and you know, and then it'll pop something. Oh, and that goes with that, and to put them together, it's just a wonderful way to let life speak, in a nonverbal way. And just a word too about just stopping to say thank you to each flower and plant that offers itself in that way to bring beauty into the space that we're taking it into. So it's fun.
It's fun. You know, and as you describe it, it's such a commercial for doing the practice that allows us to get out of the way in that way. Because so much is given, right? The flowers get to participate in that way. Everyone who walks into the dining hall or the meditation hall has the great gift of getting to see those beautiful arrangements. And you know, you get to have the experience of being used in that way and have the great privilege of having life move through the form in that way.
Yes. As we say, it's not the process, it's not the content.
Not the content,
And that it's a process that we can, practice and step into in every area of our life. It's the best.
Yeah. And it's so great to be able to listen so carefully, to be able to hear. How is it that life is offering that process to each of us uniquely?
Yeah.
So you recognize that flowers are calling to you, and so you step forward to participate in that.
Yeah. Yes. Big yes.
Yes. Thanks for saying yes to being with us this afternoon.
Thank you, Jen. It was great.
Okay. Good. Thanks, Sequoia. Good night.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Sequoia, and thank you, Jen. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. How are you doing?
I'm great. I'm great. How are you?
Good. Great also. That was very fun. I love that.
Yeah. And it's warm where I am. Is it hot up there?
It's hot. It's hot everywhere. We've gone from winter to summer in just a very short period of time. So we're glad that we have that water because, as we know, water becomes a very, very precious commodity in a big hurry around here. And, it always is, but we become critically aware of it. So, yeah. And as you know, we're having a little extravaganza up there pretty soon. You're going to be there we're going to be doing a practice weekend and devoting a lot of attention to taking care of all of those beautiful friends of ours up there, not just Sequoia and Jen, but the flowers, the garden, the trees, the shrubs, the everybody. So,
wonderful.
It's good. Life is good. Life is good.
Great.
Life is always good, and we're particularly aware of that, and that's always a good time.
Yes, and for me, I think that's what awareness practice gives me, is that life can be good, but if I'm not aware that life is good, then
you know? Yeah, it might as well not be good, huh? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
In this email class, I'm just so aware of it, and I'm having a great time in this email class because there are a lot of people who get that, who really get the difference between I'm having a crummy life and I'm actually giving my attention to a crummy experience instead of to the great life that I have. And
yes.
So that's such a marvelous thing to be reminded of, you know, about once every split second. if I'm not getting that life is wonderful, then I'm not paying attention.
Yes.
Now.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Great.
Yeah.
Shall I jump into announcements here?
Oh, please. Yes, please.
Okay. The There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat, June 30th through July 7th in North Carolina, offers an opportunity to do the compassionate and courageous work of freeing oneself from the ravages of conditioning and self-hate. This mm-hmm. foundational retreat is perfect for beginners and experienced practitioners alike.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's darn near full. So if anybody's on the line, it would be a really good time to jump because, if there's one more spot, I'll be surprised if there's two. Yeah.
Yeah. Great. And to continue the profound work of dropping self-hate and finding freedom, you don't want to miss the What You Practice Is What You Have retreat, July 15th through 22nd at the Zen Monastery Peace Center.
Mm-hmm.
This unique and very fun retreat requires a deep grounding in Zen awareness practice. And for these and all other opportunities, visit schedule.livingcompassion.org. And mm-hmm. a reminder that we are on Bamboozle number 5, Illusion of Control, and we are on the assignment for week 3.
Yeah, what a good one, huh?
Yes.
What a good one.
The title alone, The Illusion of Control.
Yeah.
Pretty much sums it up.
Yeah. Oh, dear. All right. Thank you, Michael.
Sure. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can make a show by pressing *6 and then 1. And a focus on one topic in 5 minutes is really, really helpful. Okay, Sherry, shall we jump in here?
Let's do that.
Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
This is Nancy in Virginia. Hi, Michael. Hi, Sherry.
Well, hello. How are you?
I'm practicing that, noticing how wonderful life is.
Wow. Yeah. And sometimes it's more of a practice than others, isn't it?
Yeah, it was one of those today.
Uh-huh. Wow.
I won't say fighting because that's the wrong word, but I've been dealing with cancer since August of 2014, and I'm running out of options. And I went to one of my doctors this afternoon, and that became very clear as we talked. I realized several things. One is that I'm not afraid to die, and I haven't been for a long time now. I don't really want to stop living. That's a different story. Yeah, you get that, right? And I have a very, mm-hmm. very privileged life. Oh, my gosh. There's so much that I am grateful for. and so many wonderful people in my life. So the gratitude list is long. It's hard. That topic of the illusion of control, bingo. I have no control over this. Never did.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's probably obvious by now. I don't really have a question. I just wanted to put that out there.
Yeah. Well, and the point that you make is such an important point. So an awful lot of people, and I don't think it's just people who do awareness practice. I think it's a lot of people around the world. And many people, we could say with more reason than most of the people you and I know. But a lot of time is spent on what's wrong and how this isn't going my way, and I wish that were different, and if only they, and just a real dedication to negativity. And of course, when I say to people with such regularity that, you know, they just kind of roll their eyes, is people, you've got to get it. We're going to die. We're going to die. And when that happens, if you're not careful, you're going to be really, really sorry that you didn't live. You're going to be really sorry for all those moments you missed because you were grousing about some little something that didn't go your way. And then there's getting to the place of realizing, I love life. I just love it. And I have to go.
Yes.
And I really, really, really don't want to. And that has nothing to do with how grateful I am. In fact, I suppose it has everything to do with how grateful I am, right? Because I'm not focused on what I don't like about it. In fact, I'm focused on everything I love about it. And I don't want to leave a single bit of it.
Right. Yes, that's exactly it.
Yeah. So it's kind of a, I don't know what you'd call it spiritually, but it's not bittersweet. That's not right. It's not a mixed blessing. That's not it. But there's something about having something. It's so precious. It's so precious that I don't want to let it go. Not I'm clinging to it because it's the biggest cause of suffering. That's different. That's not what we're talking about. It's just loving something so much that you just don't want to be without it. And there's nothing selfish about it. It's a place of complete, open-hearted, expansive gratitude.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the way I felt when my husband was dying. Was, you know, not wanting to hold him back, certainly not wanting him to suffer any longer, you know, to be in pain and all the things that were going on, but cherishing him and
cherishing. That's exactly the word. And so to be so grateful to have had something, to have an experience, to have the kind of love, to have the kind of life that you just want to keep having it. I'm so grateful to have that kind of life. It certainly doesn't make it any easier to let it go. And yet, thank God I've had it.
Oh, yes.
Mhm. Yeah.
Go ahead.
We're going to keep doing that. I'm not going to say another word. You're going to talk. Go ahead.
I'm so grateful for this practice and this sangha and you, because more than any one thing, those have made it possible for me to live my life as I live it, to pay attention to wonderful things that are going by.
And when it would be so easy to focus on what is not the way we would wish it were, right? It'd be so easy in all these kinds of times to let the voices just focus on, this is hard, this is painful, I don't want this. But to stay focused on those bright spots, those moments of love and joy and appreciation and gratitude.
Yes.
Yeah. Which, of course, is what we're trying for in practice. It's just that, in fact, I confess, I was talking about you the other day. because I know, there you go. But I was trying to communicate the importance of getting to these places before we have to. Because when we have to, we might not have the skills, we might not have the ability, we might not have all of those things coming together that would position us to be able, in the face of this kind of eventuality, to stay focused on the love and the gratitude and the appreciation and the beauty and the joy. It's a practice.
Oh, yeah. I can't resist saying this. I've been listening to recordings of my coaching sessions as I drive to these distant medical appointments, and I was just reminded of a conversation in which we're talking about it is a practice. It is not something that's going to be perfect.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And that's not where we want our attention, right?
Right.
So, I happen to know you play the piano. And
sorry.
And I bet you that's a wonderful example, right? That if a person is doing something like playing the piano and they're focused on the imperfections, it is not going to be a joyful process.
Oh, definitely not.
Yeah, and yeah, we could even say it's not even playing the piano. Right?
Well,
if all I'm focused on is the mistakes, I'm actually not playing the piano. I'm playing egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate.
Now I see what you're saying, yeah. Well, you know, we call this practice, too, which what I do on the piano.
Mm-hmm. Yes, in the same way. Yeah.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, so wherever we learn that, it's really important to learn it so that we can be practicing that every single moment that we have. Because
yes,
we're all running out of time. We're all running out of options. And none of us
right.
knows when.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody gets out of it alive.
Exactly. And it's only how. That's our only choice. Only choice is how we go through the process. Do we go through it with loving kindness and gratitude and an open heart and appreciation for all that we have, or do we go through it in a conversation about what's wrong and why me and this hurts and I don't like this and this is unfair? And how we do that, that's, to me, that's the most important aspect of it. We've got to start today. We've got to start today living the way we want to die.
Oh, yeah, because as you said earlier, we don't know when that is.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
It's big, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's just the right size.
Oh! That is so perfect. It is just the right size. Oh, my God. Now, let's apply that for all of us to every single moment of our lives. Whatever is going on, it is just the right size. Yeah. It's just perfect for us, isn't it?
Yes. Well, shall we give someone else a chance?
Well, okay. If you insist, I'll tell you, you're in my heart, in my thoughts, in my prayers, and you're just you're my hero. So
thank you.
That. You take care of yourself,
usual.
Okay? And let's
I'm
be in touch.
You. Oh yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Nancy. Good night.
Thank you. Good night, Michael. Good night, Sherry.
Good night. Thank you for joining us, Nancy. And that was genius, Sherry. Just the right size.
Isn't
wow.
that? Let us never forget that.
Wow.
Whatever is going on, it's just the right size. Yeah.
Wow, yeah. That was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That was amazing. And we have more callers here.
Good. Let's talk to them.
Okay. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Marianne calling from North Vancouver, Canada.
Oh, hello. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I'm very moved by that last caller. So it's
yeah.
Coming back to center to say hi and not really ask a question so much as say how much I am appreciating the practice, and especially this email class. I am in the middle of moving, and I decided to sign up for this class because I thought it would be really good to have some homework to keep me. just to keep me connected. And
yeah,
it's been spectacular. I have just seen so much. I think I must be absorbing it on a deep level because I've had a dream a couple nights ago that said, you can't fight fear with hate. You have to fight it with love.
Wow.
And I went, wow, did I?
I call those enlightenment dreams, don't you? You know, where you just wake up and think, what? How did, okay, right? Because it just comes in so clearly, and you can feel that you're different. You're a different person in the morning than the person who went to bed last night in a bigger way than usual.
Yeah, so I just feel like I am moving and moving through a lot of stuff, and in a way, like the last caller, I am preparing and doing a lot of letting go, and I see it as I have integrated all of this stuff into my life. and now I am in the process of disintegration. It's sort of mm-hmm. in the same vein as disidentifying, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm downsizing, I have lots to let go and practice.
And it feels like it all just goes nicely together, right? You're downsizing it in your life and letting go in your practice in internally.
Yes.
Yeah. So there's the physical representation, and then there's the mental, emotional, spiritual side of that as well.
Yeah, this whole move has been part of my spiritual journey, because I had to experience the duality of something to the point where I went, I have to get out of this. And I noticed I had a lot of energy in my body, and I realized, you know, this, I could label this anger, or I could label it just energy.
Energy to do the next thing.
And energy, I could direct it in this one direction where it is a kind of miserable, or I could direct it into something positive. And so, you know, that was the impetus. Cool. And everything has fallen into place in such an amazing way. I know that life is with me, or I am with life, moving through this experience.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, that is so powerful when you say that. Because we know from our own lives and people around us that we see so many people stuck in really, I'm making little quote marks in the sky, but really negative places, right? And bitter and angry and resentful and that sort of thing. And what you're saying, which we could all learn from, that same energy could be turned toward doing something that would make a wonderful difference in that person's life and possibly in other lives as well. Because it's just a lot of energy. And if we're not letting ego implode it for its own benefit, then that's when we have a chance to step out and let life take all of that energy and transform us and do something different.
Yeah, and the reason why I can see that is because of the classes I've taken and the information I've received, the support of the Sangha. I include people's email submissions as Sangha support.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yes.
I learned so much.
I've said to a number of people since this class has been in progress, especially like the last couple of classes. I mean, people are just, it seems like they just walked into a room and turned all the lights on. You know, just, I get it, I see it, and then they articulate, right? And then this happens, and this happens, and then this, and this, and you know, my job is hard. I go, yes, that's it. Yes. That's beautiful. That's perfect. And then each person, of course, has their own unique way of expressing the same, we could say, truth, or the same reality, right? But we each have a different little slant or spin on it. And so to read that, those over and over and over, where a person is saying, and my karmic tendency is this, and then this is what I've seen, and it's just, oh, it's beautiful, it's marvelous.
It is astonishing.
Yeah. Astonishing. Yes, yes, yes. And what I want to say to everybody in that class is, would you please come on retreat? Because there are a whole lot
of really lit up people out there, and I want to get to spend time with them in person, not have them be anonymous. I mean, it's great, you know. I'm not exactly suffering because I don't know who people are, and I can't put a name and a face to what they're writing in. But I really would like to be in close physical proximity to those kinds of lit up people. So I wish they would do the decent thing and come on retreat and share all of that light and love with the rest of us. Don't you think?
I think so. In fact, I'm actually planning to come on retreat in August.
Very good.
For There's Nothing Wrong With You.
Yep. See, you're doing the right thing. And so you will be a role model for all those other lit up people and help them get here.
Yes, it's inspirational. Well, and,
it
you
is.
Know,
it is.
You'd realize that you're not alone
yes.
going through all this. You see how other yes. people are transforming their lives, and it's only inspirational.
Uh-huh.
And yeah. so are you.
Yeah. We are. We all are. And that's why we want to stick together, and we want to spread the word, right? We want to just keep cranking these lights up brighter and brighter and brighter and be that kind of bright light in the world, because that's what's possible for us. We
yeah.
can do that. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, my dear. It's wonderful.
Thank you.
Wonderful
thank
talking
you, Michael.
With you.
Okay. Good night, Gush.
See you in August, if not before.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Mary Ann. Another great conversation, Sherry.
Yeah, aren't we lucky?
Yes, we are. And mm-hmm. Sherry, we're going to hear from our coaches program now, and then we'll be back for more callers.
All right. Thank you.
Sure.
The practice theme for this year is Anjali, emptying your teacup. As the Zen story teaches, when we're full of ego's preferences, opinions, likes, and dislikes, there is no room for the guidance and clarity of awareness. Through weekly coaching, regular commitments, and the practice of recording and listening, we train to empty our teacup and be open to life. Zen awareness coaches are trained by Sherry Huber to offer individual coaching about life issues and awareness practice in general. We hear from new folks and old-timers alike that awareness coaching provides the support they need to deepen their practice. And since coaches donate a percentage of their fees, getting a coach assists in supporting practice. To request a Zen Awareness Coach, go to livingcompassion.org, click on the pink lotus, then Programs to find Zen Awareness Coaches. Make 2016 the year of emptying your teacup and having the life your heart desires.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have more callers here, Sherry.
Very good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, hi, it's Anna from Yorkshire in England.
Well, hello!
Hello!
How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. I'm great.
Good.
I'm happy
What's
to be on.
Yeah. Good to hear
yeah.
your voice.
I'm just ringing to say hello. just say hello to everyone and just to say thank you for everything that Living Compassion does. Everything. I'm having a great time with all the practice opportunities that are available, and it saves my life every day still. So yeah.
Hey, are you on holiday?
Yes.
Or are you just? Oh, good.
I am. I have rung a couple of times and not got on. But that's a good thing, because it means you're very busy and you know all these lovely people ringing in. Yeah, so I'm really, really pleased that I've got on tonight. Anne might be listening, as you know, my friend, and she might be insanely jealous.
And if she slept through this, you can tell her tomorrow, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. She'll listen. She always listens the very next morning. Yeah. So yeah, I'm doing really, really good. It feels a bit weird because I'm not doing the email class, and I normally do, because I'm saving up to come over. So, but
good
and
for
that's
you.
Fine. That's fine. Because apart from everything else, we've got the big bamboozle, and control is really interesting. For me, all of the others up until now, I can see really clearly and really have enjoyed. And whenever it comes to control, I think I've spoken to you lots about control, and I suppose coming from the point of view of addiction, but it's a slippery one. And when I look at it, I think, oh yeah, I can see that. But then instantly, something else comes into view, and I'm like, oh no, I don't think I did get that. And so I can see that it slips and slides, but I'm really, really enjoying looking at the control, and I'm loving this week's. This week's is really helpful, just seeing what life just does. And of course, it's a great time of year for that, because over here as well, my garden is so green. Everything's just popping up everywhere, all by itself, without anybody to control it.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Just does what it does.
Yeah. So
I got distracted there for just a tiny little second with gardening and control. I adore Heavenly Blue Morning Glories. They're just one of my 9,000 favorite flowers. And and so I decided this year that I was going to grow some. And so I did. I learned about, how to get the seeds started and all of that. And so I did that, and I put them in their little peat pots ready to, as soon as they got big enough, then I can put the whole pot in the ground so I don't have to do any transplanting, because that's traumatic for me. I'm an anxious parent. And and so I went out the other day. They'd gotten to be about an inch and a half tall, their little, little babies, and a squirrel had gotten in them.
Oh.
Yes, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right there. And and it's just one of those, oh, I was already seeing them being vines growing up there. But that's not what was in store for them, and there's no way to entertain voices that say blah blah blah, because I carried those things around with me, carried them in the car from place to place so that they would be safe, and their first foray into the out of doors, boom. So we don't have any control, and it's we go through these experiences. And what I personally learned from this is that there is a spray that you can spray around plants that squirrels don't like the smell of, and having sprayed it, I can see why they don't. It's absolutely repulsive, and so there, now I know, and it's now my best friend, and the new little seeds are in their plate, getting ready to sprout, and away we go again, and we'll see what happens with the next one.
Well, fingers crossed.
There's my control gardening story.
Yeah, I can see them already as well, and I'm thousands of miles away, and I can see them all big and tall.
They're going to make it, aren't they? They're going to make
it. Wonderful. Brilliant. Yeah.
And
letting go. I've got a similar story from last year, because we grow poppies, obviously, and we've got some poppies, and they're the oriental type, and we bought them from our old house when we moved here, and that's years and years ago. Poppy was only 10 when we moved, and so they've been flowering for 14 years, something like that anyway. And last year, something ate them. I'm not an amazing expert in the garden. I do what I do, and I do the best that I can. And they would definitely be eaten by something, and they all collapsed. That was a little bit sad. But they've come up this year. There are two huge, bright red poppies in the front.
Ah.
They're lovely. They're lovely. So, and I'm taking photographs of them, and I should draw and paint them as well, actually. So then I've got them forever.
But, yes, exactly. Yeah. And it's a funny kind of a thing with that, isn't it? Because, you love them, right? You love them at the old house. You brought them to the new house. You love them there. And then they're gone, right?
Yeah.
It's heartbreaking. Yeah. And then you have these two. And it's just the most marvelous, I don't know, I'm projecting here wildly, but I project a greater even appreciation than when you had a yard full of them. Because you always did have a yard full of them, right? And then when we have that and now it's gone, we just have a whole different level of appreciation. And I suppose it'd be nice if we could just always have that level of appreciation. But we don't seem to be wired quite like that, right? And
that's right.
So,
When the very first of these two popped up, because I saw it was really, what they do is they've got their green casing, and then very early morning they sort of pop it. And I went out for a run, and it had popped a bit. And when I came back, it popped a bit more, and that was only within 30 minutes. And so I was really looking at it and really paying attention to it. And enjoying it. So everything is good. Life is good.
Good.
I got on the radio show.
Good.
Yay!
and you're saving up to come and see us.
And I'm saving up. Yes. So that is a good
That's
thing.
Very good.
Yeah.
That's very good. Yeah. That's very good. Well, you're going to give us lots of advance notice when you're on your way, right?
Oh, absolutely, yes. I did. I have emailed as well. And Anne is coming to see you already before me. So I'm insanely jealous of her now, but I think, she's coming in the summer. So she'll see you, see you then.
Oh, lovely. Oh, very exciting. All right.
Yeah.
All right. We get to see both of you soon.
Yes.
Perfect.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you, as always, for being up in the middle of your night with us.
Yeah.
send us a picture of the poppy, would you? Maybe you could send us a picture of Poppy with the poppy.
Poppy with the poppy, yeah. Poppy, and Poppy's really well, by the way. She's finally finished being a student. She has a graduation in July, so she's really great. She had to write part of a novel for her MA, and she's done that, and now she's carrying on with it. She's going to finish her book.
Lovely. Wow.
Yeah. Oh, she's hoping to come as well. So I'm saving up. She's
coming
as well. So.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll take good care of you when you get here, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, great. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
And thanks for everything. And thank you to Michael. Night, night. Bye-bye. Bye.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Anna. Again in the middle of the night. Great to hear from an old friend.
You feel old, Michael?
No, Poppy. But I've known her. Oh, yeah, Poppy, that's true.
Yeah.
Yes, Poppy was very young when she first started calling us.
Right.
Yeah.
And now she's way a grown-up.
All right.
Well,
she was like 10 or something when she first called.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And we have another call here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. This is Zoe from New Jersey.
Well, hello, Zoe. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Excellent, excellent. Thank you. What's going on?
Well, I just wanted to call to check in again, and things are actually going really well. I distilled it. It kind of, the distilled version came up as instead of trying to force myself to be the person I think I should be, I have been appreciating the person that I am.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Let's just stop a moment and take that in. Wow. One is suffering and misery. The other is happy.
Joyful. Yeah. And I do attribute a lot of that to the coaching process. So I wanted to follow up with seconding that advertisement that we heard just a couple of minutes ago.
Those coaches are a good deal, aren't they?
Yep. And so, and I also read this book of, like, an autobiography of someone with similar tendencies but different karmic content, and just, you know what I mean? And so, I don't know, I was able to kind of see myself in that and, see how someone else has the same life, but their hang-ups are about totally different content.
Just getting a little distance on it.
It really helped disidentify, and then also see, like, yeah, this person doesn't, yeah, they don't, they just don't fuss and worry and suffer over the same things, you know, and just how irrelevant or you know, whatever the content is, it's just whatever we're disposed to believing. And so that was really cool.
And we don't have to believe it, right? That's something that has fascinated me forever. It's like all these different people in the world believing different stuff. Now, that could be a clue for us that there is not one thing to be believing. There can't be one right way if you have millions and millions of people thinking that they know the right way and it's not all the same way. And yet we have the ability to listen to a voice in our head say, yeah, but they're all wrong, and believe it. It's kind of fascinating. Good. So you are relaxing into just kind of letting life unfold and assuming that maybe the opportunity is to see what you see and choose to not suffer rather than listening to those voices and continuing to suffer? Something like that?
Something like that. To an extent, anyway. So
are you laughing more these days?
Am I laughing more? I hope so. I think so. I mean, it's not like a very long period of time that I'm even talking about. I'm just talking about, I don't know, just a little bit. This is just happens to be like one of those times and where I'm not like completely believing conditioning. So,
Got your head above water, getting some breaths of air. And are you recording all this?
Yeah, I made two recordings today in the afternoon about this. And I already have dozens of recordings kind of already about this, which is, you know, not maybe like how specific I've seen it this time, but it's amazing because I feel like all the wisdom is there. It's just a matter of like disidentifying from believing that the suffering story.
Oh, you're right. That's when I was talking earlier about the email class. That's the thing that is most apparent to me anyway, and I think to a lot of other people in this email class, is that people will just go, this is what it's like when I'm believing those voices. This is what it's like when I'm not.
Mm.
So they could be saying, this is what it's like in the dark room. This is what it's like in the light room. and they're completely clear about my life looks absolutely, utterly, 100% different depending on whether I'm caught in conditioned mind listening to those voices or I'm actually here in life as it is.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah, I'm not really doing anything differently. I have had more time to be able to listen and, you know, do some other practice things that I've, you know, been just had a little bit more time to do those things. And so I think that
that's it.
That helps. Yeah.
Yep, that's it. There's all the difference, which is why, of course, those voices are so devoted to keeping people busy.
Yeah.
You know, if you're crazy busy, you can't pay attention to anything except whatever craziness is going on in your head. That's just how it is. And so people are just racing around, and there's too much to do, and going too fast, and this is really hard, and and they're all of the signals of this is not a good life and I am not happy. But as soon as we start, and awareness practice is a great start, we start to pay attention. We tune into the body. We tune into the breath. We get into the moment. We're actually here. We're looking at the blue skies and the trees and the flowers and that sort of thing. Then, okay, I see. All right, yes. It's different, isn't it? And actually, it's not different. It's just that we got here.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. So it's true. When we suffer, we need to do the things that we know to do to end the suffering. And it is my experience that after we do that for a while, we realize we don't have to suffer. And then shortly after that, we get to, and I don't want to suffer. And then not that far after that, I'm not going to suffer. And at that point, we devotedly make choices not to get caught up in those voices in conditioned mind. Now we are devoted to practicing awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good progression.
Yeah.
Well I'm happy for you.
All right. Thank you so much.
You are welcome. You are welcome. Thank you. Good to talk with you. Take good care of yourself.
You too. You too.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good night,
bye-bye.
Zoe.
Thanks for joining us, Zoe. And Sherry, I think we have time for one more conversation tonight.
Good. Let's do that.
Okay. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Laura calling from Hawaii.
Well, hello, Laura. How are you?
I am well. Thank you. How are you?
Excellent. Excellent.
You're always excellent. I love that you're always excellent.
I know. I'm just lucky that way, I guess, because I don't lie about this. It does seem to be the God's truth.
I think it's
awareness practice.
I think that's it.
What's going on tonight? Or this afternoon, I guess, if you're in Hawaii.
Yeah. I love that first, I love the whole show, of course, but the first conversation really spoke to where I'm at with my daughter right now, who is very attached to a cat that she's had for many, many years, and the cat is in the end days, and my daughter's having a really tough time trying to decide when she needs to put her down. And so she makes appointments and then cancels them and makes more appointments and cancels them. And what I'm seeing is that she is suffering so much over this, and I am standing back and feeling absolutely powerless to help her in any way. And so I just thought I would call in.
And so it's a terrible place to be, isn't it? It is a place of just intense suffering. So because there are several things, right? One, she's losing her friend, and there's nothing that she can do about that. And then she's in a position, a really difficult position of, and what do I do? How's the best way to be there for my friend, to take care of my friend? That's an incredible responsibility.
And what happens is the cat has good days and then the cat has bad days. And so, you know, she's
absolutely
kind of flipping back and forth. And there's a time element involved in that she's leaving a week from today to meet the rest of her family. And so she's kind of given herself this deadline of she has to do it before then or...
Oh. I know. Now, can't you hear the voices? Can't you just hear the voices? So you killed your cat because you had an appointment.
Yeah. And she has looked at all the options, about bringing the cat and, you know, what would be the kindest thing for the cat and all that kind of stuff. The voices are just out loud every time I talk to her, and it just breaks my heart.
Not that
it's about me. I want to make that really clear.
I just want to know
how I can support her, you know, other than just being here.
Well, and isn't that kind of it?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think? I mean, there's no answer for you know. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that you can say. And
right.
In fact, it's probably best that you don't.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Unless you want to be
point,
the one who gets the blame.
Well, at one point I said, I just don't know what to tell you. And she said, well, I'm not asking you to tell me anything.
Oh, that's clear.
Yeah, that was
very
clear.
Good.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. And so, good. There she's giving the directions. What she really, it sounds like, what she really needs from you is for you to listen to her, be there with her. Be there with her as she goes through this, not judge her, not tell her what to do, but just love her.
Yeah.
Just kind of a good recipe for everybody all the time, huh?
Well, it really is. And what dropped in for me today is because it's this family reunion that we're all going to be together for the first time in 2 years, and I just said to her, well, no matter what you decide, we're going to have a celebration of this cat's life when we're all together, because of course we all know and love the cat. So.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just, gosh, it is such an argument for resolving unresolved issues as quickly as we can. So I heard myself say to somebody the other day, "Do you trust life? Do you think life is kind? Do you think life is friendly? Do you think life is on your side?" You know, because when we make peace with those, our experience of those kinds of questions, then we know that this cat is fine. You know, am I going to miss the cat? Oh, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And the cat is fine. Which is, to me, something we want to know for ourselves. And we want to have an experience of that for ourselves that gives us peace about everyone and everything we love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To me, it's the biggest argument for doing awareness practice.
Mm-hmm.
Because we can have those experiences. We can get to such a place of peace with what life is and how it works, with the non-separate nature of life, that we don't have to struggle
in the same way? Will we still miss loved ones who go before us? Absolutely. Will, as we were talking about earlier, will we still leave with a, oh, I'm not really ready when it's our time? Very likely. But that's not the same as there's something wrong.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
That's where the suffering is. And I project that onto your daughter. You know, that's where the suffering is. There's a there's a potential for something to be wrong with this. She's going to make the wrong decision. It's not really time for the cat. What if she makes the appointment too soon? What if she waits too long? She's going to make a mistake.
Yeah, that's very much her karmic pattern. And the reality that I've experienced is that cat should have been dead a year ago, and she just kept her alive through sheer love.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yes. And of course, we would wish that she would take great comfort in that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And hope that this is one of the stepping stones in your daughter's life to move her to the place where that is how she would see it.
Uh-huh.
Where she would be able to take in how much love went into this relationship. And to know with conviction in her heart that she did everything that she could possibly do. Could somebody else have done something different? Maybe. But who cares? That's not the point. All we need to know is that we did everything we could do. We did the best that we could do. And the secret to that is the realization that we're always doing the best that we can do. Yeah, and that sometimes the very situations that enable us to do better the next time are the ones that, rather than us being allowed to celebrate, of course, we're being beaten over, right? So I didn't do that as skillfully as it could have been done. I see that. That's what I bring to the next situation.
Mm-hmm.
It's how we learn. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much.
Well, we'll be sending good stuff. In what's the kitty cat's name?
Katsa.
Spell it for me.
C-A-T-S-A.
Katsa.
Gotcha. My daughter was young when she got this cat and gave her that name.
They've grown up together.
They have.
Good. Yeah. Well, we'll be sending lots of strength and good energy to both of them and to Mom as well, because it is not a picnic to watch our children suffer like that, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Sherry.
Thank you, Laura. Take care.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Laura. And thank you, everyone, for another fabulous open air. Thank you, Sherry.
Yeah. Thank you, Michael. Thank you. Take good care of yourself, too, okay?
You too.
We'll do this again next week. Good Lord willing, the creek don't rise.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks, Sherry.
All right. Thanks, Michael. Good night.
Thank you. Good night.